in that major, but we have a lot of verses this morning, and our attendance is lighter this morning, so my math tells me the percentage of participation has to go up. So please work on helping out with a verse this morning. I'll see if we can get them all covered. So we're basically spending a lot of time, thank you, we're spending a lot of time in Proverbs, so if you open your Bible up to the middle and turn right just a little bit, you'll probably be right in Proverbs. But Alice, I did see that, and Proverbs 12, 16.
A fool shows
his not yet. Yeah. Alice, you know how this goes. Caleb? Proverbs 12:50. Linda, James, okay, now that I got you in Proverbs, James 1, verses 19 and 20. Okay. Amy, Proverbs 14:17. Mary, I'm going back to auctioneering now. I got to look for the little dots and blanks. Proverbs 14:29. Cindy? Ecclesiastes 7:9. Proverbs 16:32. You guys have a Proverb right there? Yes, okay. Proverbs 25:28. Okay. Let's see. Proverbs 22, 24, 25, and Michelle, Proverbs 13, 20. Jan, 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 25, and Angela, Proverbs 29, 11, Rhonda, Proverbs 15:28. And, oh, did I see you? Oh, great. Great. Proverbs 15:1. Okay. All right, Alice, now I'm ready for you. Okay, so talks about two people or two groups of people, and one shows their annoyance at once, and one overlooks an insult. So, what's the difference between these two people, and what makes them different? You know, if I'm worried about what the world thinks of me, I'm going to be insulted easily. How many of you have ever had bruises? Okay. Now, you know, some people bruise more easily than others. We'll have to use my biology here for a second. Can we pull up the next slide? Okay, so this is, you spread your blood, you have the red blood cells, the red things, and the big white blood cells, and you have what they call platelets. Okay, when you get injured, the platelets come together, and they rush together, and they kind of form a clot, and keep, you know, blood from eating out, getting worse, eating out, that's not a biology term, but anyway, but if you have too few platelets, that can cause it so you bruise more easily. Your body can't form clots. And so some people bruise easier than others. Some people also have egos that bruise easier. Maybe it's not enough self-identity, not enough understanding of who I am as God's child. Not enough knowledge of what's really important. But, you know, if I have too much pride, I'm going to get my feelings hurt. And the Bible has a word, and we're going to see over and over as we read these verses, we'll try and point it out to you as proof. But the person who reacts strongly to everything that happens to them. Those who bruise easily and then want to bruise people back. Especially as we're in Proverbs, that person is called a fool. Call it cool. things that we're worried about. Tessa, could you come up and down? I always do that. You're always like, I don't want to be in front. I get that. You don't have to say anything. I don't say anything. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. My bad. Sam, could you come here for a second? Sam's like, I also don't like to be up front, but you never listen to me. All right, so hold out your hands. Now you're going to hold these in your hands. And these are going to be things that we sort of worry about, like, am I pretty enough? Am I, am I athletic enough? Am I successful enough? Do people think I'm cool? Do people think I am popular? Do people think I'm successful? Am I well respected by my classmates or people that I work with? Do people think I'm funny? Do people think the sermon is going well? I think those kind of things, because I have this issue too. And I have all these things that we worry about, and then someone comes along and affects one of those things, insults me, says something that, is a little bit of an affront, as I come, and all of a sudden, I drop. All of a sudden, these things that were so important to me have dropped, and now I'm going to react strongly to it. Look at what you did. Look at what you did. No, you should just get up. Let me say that to me. No, whatever. All right. So, look at what. It doesn't really work, but he doesn't get a friend of me as you know. But if I have one thing, that I'm focused on, go ahead and hold that. One thing I'm holding on to, what God thinks of me, what God thinks is important, what is my identity in Him as a child of God and His love of me. And then if there's an affront, and then if there's somebody bumps, what the Alright. But then it makes it much easier if I have this one thing that is I'm holding secure, that I'm not gonna be knocked off that track. I'm not gonna be knocked off that. Let's give Sam a chance. When it's the one thing, when I'm carrying around too much of my pride, what I think makes it my identity, too close to me, then there's going to be a problem when I feel insulted or feel offended because we, to fall apart or lash out. And it's actually doing ourselves a favor when we make light of injuries and insults instead of making them worse. It's like adding the person, the prudent person, the prudent man, the prudent woman, adding prudence to our life protects us, just like adding clothes to our body protects us from the ability of cold and hurt. When we have that prudence in our life, that thoughtfulness in our life, we don't aren't affected as much. Still, some people are going to spell off. They're not prudent, and they say the first thing that comes to their mind. And they justify it by saying, well, I'm just being real. I'm not fake. I'm saying what comes to my mind. I'm going to give people a piece of my mind. There's kind of a pride there of I'm real, and I'm going to say what's real. I don't know if you guys saw what some of the Republican debates. Part of it was Ben Carson, who was a physician from Michigan. He said, I'm the only one they hear with experience of operating on a child in a mother's womb or the experience of removing half of a brain. And then he said, but I've been to Washington, and it seems like some people need me to it. That's what it's like. We say, I'm going to give somebody a piece of my mind. Sometimes we do, and that's what the Bible calls being a fool. In fact, let's read that. Proverbs 12:15.
The way of fools is direct to them, but the wise is to them.
Okay. So, and again, that word fool comes up over and over again. And the Bible has a word for a person who speaks without thinking, reacts to whatever is said, responds right away to every affront without any self-control. And they are called, in fact, we go to the next slide, fools. All right, I couldn't resist that one. There's the like section, and then there's I'm going to react quickly to whatever I don't agree with section on Facebook that I don't like. But all right, that's not in the Bible. But it's cool. The word is cool. All right, let's go to the next verse. James 1, 19, 20. Slow to speak, to slow to becoming angry. I think we talked about this 2 weeks ago. Anybody here seen the show Shark Tank? Okay. You're going to know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm going to talk to you. But Shark Tank, you know, sometimes the sharks make an offer to the person and they say, can I have a loan? Can I go confer? Can I go talk with someone? Can I go call my partner on the phone? And we need to mentally do that. We need to mentally check in with the Holy Spirit. Is this something I need to overlook? You know, what are my other options? Again, Proverbs 12:16 says, a wise person overlooks an insult, the fool immediately gets annoyed. I don't remember my dreams a lot, but I remember stuff. I know that in my dreams I get chased a lot. I didn't get chased. Your dreams being chased by. I'm not going to analyze your dreams, but I'll probably just analyze mine. All right, what about this? Can anybody here up here fly? Your dreams, I can fly on things. Yep, you got some flyers? I don't know what that means, if you understand. Okay, scratching your head, you fly, Ron. Okay, if you don't know, you probably don't remember your dreams. So, in my dreams, and if I'm up on a tall building, you know, good, because I get people chasing me, I just jump off and I fly. But if I'm on the ground, it's like hard, it's almost like swimming to get up off the ground, and so I'm trying to get up away from the person, and sometimes I get up fast enough, and sometimes I gotta, you know, I gotta kick that up before I can. Anyway. Nobody else? Alright, most analyzing you're good. But the point is I try to rise above whatever it is. Whatever it is that's chasing me, whatever it is that's bothering me. That's a long segue into this. The Bible tells us how we can rise above the things that are offending us or trying to bring us down, even trying to belittle you. One of those, let me go to the next one, is to don't take offense. Like, when you take offense, it literally builds offense around your heart. Lots of power from God can really flow into your life. Even if somebody dishes something out to you, I mean, it's your choice, you know, whether to do something about it. I can toss this. There's Haley's choice whether to catch it or not. She can let it drop. She can let it go. In the same way, when there's something, there's an insult, an offense that comes at us, we have a choice whether to really engage that and take it to another level. The second one up there is to trade places. You put yourself in their shoes. Maybe you're dealing with family stress or work pressure. Try to consider their unique situation and realize that your perception of them may not really be what reality is. I had years ago, 20 years ago, probably, I was coaching the 7th grade girls basketball game. And there was a referee there. I don't know what was going on, but I mean, he was like throwing our parents out of the gym left and right and was really upset. And so, and I'm bringing up this example because I don't always get this player late. I don't always act this way, coaching on the bench. But I mean, he was like here in my face. I don't even know what I said to him, but and this guy was being very like, he's getting way too upset of the way too full of a thing. Something else is going on. There's something else going on in this person's life right now where I didn't react at all. And don't get that out of the shape so fast or something so level. And I had a lot of parents, especially ones that I kicked out afterwards, like, I can't believe that you just, you know, didn't fire back at this person. And what I came to realize 20 years ago, and kind of held on to, sometimes it takes more strength to overlook an insult. Right? Sometimes the easy thing to do is to fire back. And I, you, from it being able to show my strength by getting them louder or bad. Yet the Bible says sometimes it takes more strength to overlook an insult. And the third thing there is to get the benefit of the doubt. To show mercy by not letting the insult sort of diminish how you feel about the person. And besides, someday we're all looking at somebody's shows and saying, I know there are times that I have unintentionally probably said something that, you know, offended someone or hurt someone, and I want them to give me the benefit of the doubt that I'm not, you know, intentionally trying to offend. We talk about practicing the presence of God, using the empty chair, but to think in that moment, when the offense occurs, whether it's face-to-face, it's over the phone, it's a letter you got, it's a slight by somebody else, or received insult, what would Jesus say? No. I think sometimes Jesus would say about things I get upset about, what are you angry about? Why are you so upset? Why is this all that bad? Why are you so bad in shape? The King James Version of the Bible in Psalms 52:1 says that the love of God, the goodness of God, endureth continually. It endures forever. You have about 10 times about the things to be happy and thankful about than to be mad about. In fact, you know who has a really big problem? You know who complains and screams for no little or no reason every time something goes wrong? David. Or, you know, young, poorly trained children. Don't prove yourself immature to others by not being able to control and have a handle on your own emotions. God says, wise men and women, prudent people, praying the Bible, will control their spirits and keep from having those kind of feelings towards other people. Unless there is a real God-honoring reason to do so. We'll talk about that in a second. In fact, this is Proverbs 14:17. Okay. And again, there's the word that does quick-tempered person does foolish things. Proverbs 14:29.
Whoever's patient has great understanding, but one who's quick-tempered stays calm.
Okay. So temper, anger, bad, powerful emotions, and they make us say and do things that normally we wouldn't do. And so they have to be controlled and controlled well. Now, I want to take a quick aside and say, not all anger is wrong. It's not like you can never feel anger. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, was talking about, you heard that it was said that you shall not murder. But I tell you, anyone who is angry with his brother. This goes back to Natalie talking about the different meanings of the words when you talk about Hebrew or in Greek. But the meaning of the word there is to be angry with each other, angry without cause. Or, there are sometimes that we are to be angry. There are some things we're to be angry about. Paul actually clarified that in an important point. He explained it in Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Okay. Is that good up here? No. All right. Okay. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. So when anger does occur, you don't want to let it cause you to sin and fester and turn into bitterness. So fools react without thinking. Wise men and women think before reacting. Fools get controlled by their anger. Wise people control their anger. And here's an important lesson of this proverb. So the prudent man will think first and avoid the shame or that kind of going into hasty anger causes them to act foolishly. That's back in Ecclesiastes 7:9. Okay. And his eyes are like a bull. It's kind of like you're showing with Sam and pulling that pride so closely. The purpose of Proverbs is to teach you wisdom for success in life. And you'll never be successful if you don't learn to control and rule your passion, especially wrath and anger and envy. The difference between people who control their anger and emotions and those who don't is huge. Solomon really points out and honors this difference. He lifts up the self-controlled man and woman as a mighty man of valor. Proverbs 16:32.
Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control and one who takes a spear.
Okay. And so Solomon also warned that angry men were vulnerable to any adversity, because if you can't control yourself in this one area, you're likely not to be able to control yourself in another area as well. So they would be, Solomon said they'd be easily destroyed by everything. Proverbs 25:28. So that wall that's broken down, that's where we're going to be attacked. In fact, the first of the United, Proverbs 12:16, the Message paraphrase says this: fools have short fuses and explode all too quickly. The prudent quietly shrug off insults. I like that phrase. The fools have short fuses. I don't know how many of you did fireworks at your house on the 4th of July. We did. And one of the things I'm reading on the fireworks is, if you've got a short fuse or if it goes a little bit, don't try to relight it. Don't try to just put it aside, because you're going to, it's danger for you and everybody else around. Put it down and walk away. And another lesson, though, it's not taught directly here, is that in his key relationships, a wise man avoids angry people. Proverbs 22, or easily angered people. 22:24-25.
Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you learn your ways and get yourself to sleep.
Okay. So if you're not careful, you pick up the bad habits of people around you. Proverbs 13:20.
Walk with the wise and become wise, for making the fools
So, and on the other hand, if you are an athlete, especially world-class athletes, they hang around each other. They know that there are parts of being an athlete where you are denying yourself of certain things. They learn to rule and control their desires and passions. 1 Corinthians 9:24-25.
Don't you realize the inner race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to live. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize.
Okay, so the first called discipline or temperance, or they know that to be the best means denying themselves. Man have to deny different impulses. You eat bad stuff, impulse to wasting your time or to take a day off. And in the same way, we're to control those impulses and desires that cause us to lash out, to react improperly to stuff going on. And when those situations come up in your life, when you're faced with another problem, when you're faced with an insult, when you are feel like your toes have been stepped on, then we are to think, to stop and think with our response. You probably heard this acronym before. I know you get to see it around schools. Before you say something, think. When I say something, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it important? Is it needed? Is it kind? A lot of times when you filter what you're going to say, how you're going to react, those filters. Using the answer somewhere along the way is no. Yeah, maybe what I'm about to say is going to be true, but it might not be helpful. might not really be that important. Maybe we feel like it's needed, and certainly many times it isn't time. But again, the Bible says fools do the opposite. Proverbs 29:11. So the fools pull back right away, gush out their rage. Actually, Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers. It's deliberate thinking. It's thinking, going through those filters where the mouth of the wicked just crushes people. The last verse I want us to look at. In fact, I don't need anybody to read it, but we have some kids to read it. We go to the video. Go ahead and play that.
People are looking for a fight, and you don't want to put gas in that situation either. Here's a proverb you won't find in your Bible. It's a secular proverb that I have held on to for 20 or so years. You never wrestle with a pig because you both get dirty and the pig likes it. Right? So sometimes people are just looking for that's a 4-H proverb. Sometimes when people just looking for that, and because probably didn't hurt in the past. Hurt people tend to hurt people. But we have an option of with gas or water, with being prudent or being foolish. And can we go to the next video of it'll give a little example of illustration of what we're talking about.
Hey, you just stepped on my shoe. What's your problem? Relax, man. I didn't hurt your old brown shoes. What did you say to me? You heard me. You need to turn around and be quiet. Proverbs says, a rough answer makes anger grow, but a gentle answer makes anger disappear. Hey, you just stepped on my shoe. What's your problem?
Oh man, I'm sorry. I was just walking along and I didn't see you.
That's okay. Just watch where you're going next time.
Definitely.
In fact, to drive the point, Paul, I brought you something to remind you about what we talked today. Drew, could you and Caleb come help out for a second? Can you come on up here? And this is going to be a typical reminder. This is your daily supply of patience, of prudence, of the ability to overlook, of a gentle answer to remind you of this throughout today. So here, I'll hand it to you. You can pull them out and hand them out. But while they're doing that, let's watch another video that kind of gives the gives an example of what we were talking about today and how our perception of another person can be totally wrong. So while they're handing those out, let's go ahead and do that.
Know you so well that we know what a gentle answer looks like. The way that you deal with us gently and rebuking and helping to turn us around, help us to model that to a watching world. That is in your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's spend a moment when we sing Revelation. Just spend a moment, you go so easily. Let's
Let's sing together.